the first thing they say? We started this. And what would we say? It's her fault. Oh, no, it's his fault. No, it's her fault. We're so good at the conflict. But the moment there's conflict, I can play the blame game. And I can point the finger. I told them this week, I learned something in my own devotions. The person who wrote this devotion said, when you're pointing fingers, you're one finger away from doing this. We're so good at the blame game. It's always someone else. Let me get back to this text for a second. James knows this. He knows how the story goes. He knows about the quarrels. And because of his stature, his position in the church, remember I told you, James was the leader in the church in Jerusalem. So James would have the right to go and say, I can arbitrate between you. Let's sit down and do this. But he doesn't. James doesn't say, hold on, guys, I'm going to get on my donkey and I'll be there within 3-4 weeks. And then we'll sit down and I'll listen to you and I'll hear your whole story. And then I'll listen to you and I'll hear your whole story. And when we're done, I will take my wisdom and I will give you my wisdom. And then we can all move forward and all will be well. Doesn't do that. Actually, he takes us in a completely different direction. Look at this verse again. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? See what he does? He answers his own question with a question. Actually, a statement. Although it's formulated as a question. Don't they come from your desires that are battling within you? He says, the problem. It's not the other person. The problem isn't that person that you don't like. The problem isn't this one whose theology is wrong. The problem is in a different place. The issue is not that someone has done something against you that offended you. The issue is not that you're so focused on keeping the church holy. The fighting, the arguing, the quarrels come from. Don't come from someone else out there. The fighting doesn't come from someone else out there. It comes from within you. It's you. That's what it starts. If you put that into modern day language, it would sound a little bit like this. I know your boss can sometimes be a jerk. Because you had to get that job, but you gave that position to someone else, but you really deserved it. I know that your friend should have written that stuff on social media. And it wasn't cool to put a picture up there that you didn't say they were allowed to put up, and no one knows what the background for that picture is. I get that. I know that. But when you sit down and you write that angry, hurting email, when you give them the silent treatment, you don't even look them in the eyes. When you go say things behind their back and you slander their name without even giving them a chance to defend themselves, doesn't it say a little more about you and what's going on with you? See, James wants to refocus us. We focus on the state of our circumstances. James wants to focus us on the condition of our hearts. Because last week we said that's where it starts. It starts in the heart. When we focus on the circumstances, we want to do this. James says, look at your heart. What is the condition of your heart? Because your biggest problem isn't that other person. Your biggest problem isn't the teaching. Your biggest problem isn't whatever. Your biggest problem is what's going on in your own heart. Because this is what happens. I have all of these desires and all of these needs that I want, and all of these efforts of controlling, and I want to manage all of this stuff, and it's all in me. And when I don't get my way with this, then the world becomes my impediment to reaching what I want. And when I don't get what I want, what do? You become my enemy. And then I fight. And then I quarrel. And then I don't care what I leave behind in the wake. And it hurts. Because he says it's all you. Look at verse 2:3. You desire, but you don't have. So what do? So you kill. You covet, but you can't get what you want. So what do? So you quarrel and you fight. You don't have. Why? Because you don't ask God. But what? When you ask, you don't receive. Why? Because you ask for the wrong motives. It's all about you. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Did you see the word that's repeated 14 times in those two verses? It wasn't them. It wasn't him. It wasn't her. It's the word you. Did you see? It's easy to say that my actions are caused because of someone else's actions. Because of what they did. Because there's the evil in them. And that's why I act the way I act. James says, that's not true. The reason for my anger, the reason that I act the way I do, the reason that I try and control, the reason that I try and make everything mine, is because it all comes back to a question of the heart. Verse 2, it starts. See, our biggest problem is that sometimes we don't know what our biggest problem is. Here's the biggest problem. It's me. When worse did it make me angry? It's me. Because it's my stuff that I now want to project on others. And then those becomes enemy. No. No, it's me. I need to fix this. You see, why does this happen? Why does this happen? Let me try and explain this. In the center of my heart should be Jesus Christ, my Lord. But what we do is we take all the peripheral stuff from the outside and we place that in the center of our heart and we replace Jesus with all of that and we put him on the periphery. And the moment I take him out of the center of my heart, my whole life becomes disoriented. And my focus changes and it becomes wrong because it becomes inward. It becomes me. And when God is not in the center, it just all falls to pieces. So James doesn't sit them down and say, okay, I'll give you three things. They all start with C. When you do these three C's, you'll remember them well. All will be fine. James says, no, let's talk about your heart. Because here's the thing. The biggest problem is that we can't solve that biggest problem. We need help. And the only one that can solve my biggest problem is God. And what's God's solution? What is God's solution? Look at verse 6 of me and I'll be done. This is to me the most beautiful piece. When we've done all these things and we've messed everything up, he says, but he, God, gives us why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but God shows favor. Actually, the word for favor, I don't know why they did translate it favor, it's the word chayim in Greek again. It's the exact same word for grace. God opposes the proud, but he shows his grace. When we turn against each other, when we want to quarrel and fight, when I want my own way, when I do all these things that hurt me and hurt those around me, what is God's solution? What does God do? God receive forgiveness for my anger, for the messes, for the roots that I've done. To know that it's my plea and it's past and allows me to do that to others too. So what James does is he just focuses us on the cross and the system of Jesus. He didn't point fingers, he didn't lay blame. He loved. And he took it all upon himself so that we may receive grace. And it's free. Whether I believe or don't believe, there's grace for you. Whether I'm a skeptic, there's grace for you. Whether you've messed up so badly that you don't even want to look at yourself in the mirror, there's grace for you. Whether you struggle like all of us with that eye trouble in your life, there's grace for you. It's there. It's free. Just needs to be taken. Our problem is that we don't always know how to receive grace. And that's where that last little part comes in. Look what he says. He says, God gives grace. More grace. But God opposes. God opposes. If you put up that wall and you say, I don't want anything to do with this, I'm going to do my own thing, and I'll do whatever I want, and I'm going to be this person, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run into that wall time and time and time again, and you're going to bleed. Because the wall's up. But if you allow God to break that wall down, He gives His grace. See your grace in action. For when we were shouting and when we were pointing fingers, you were opening your arms up at the cross, Lord Jesus. For all the hurt and all the breaking, you came and you said, so I will break my body so that you may receive. Of shedding my blood so that you may receive grace. In a moment, we are going to be invited to the beautiful song. It says, come to the table. Come and join. Because, Lord, as you sit at this table, we're not perfect. We're still part of that congregation that James wrote to. And we can come and we can bring that to the table. Quite a few visitors this morning. You're so welcome. Please join us because this is God's table. It shows how we are one in our Lord Jesus. So break bread with us. Drink with us the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive His grace. I'm going to ask the praise team to invite you, and this is the time that we'll open the tables, to invite you to come sit at this table. Just listen to the words. We're not going to sing them, but sing. Just listen to the words of the song as it says, come to the table.
frisky with nothing left to give or the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, God opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table.
Thank you. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In the night that our Lord Jesus was going to be taken prisoner, sat down with his disciples, and he taught them, took a piece of bread, and he says, "This is my body. It's broken for you. So take this bread and eat it. It's yours." And when you eat this bread, every time, remember what it says. This is for you. This is my grace. This is my forgiveness. This is my healing. So take this bread and eat it. Do this in remembrance. Seeing as we distribute the elements, we see that words on the screen is all the terms of bread.